98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Doug and Wolf's Rush Hour Reboot. Rush Hour Reboot. Getting you up to speed on everything happening in sports this morning. Brought to you by Brooklyn Betting. That's American-owned and American-dreamed Brooklyn Betting.
This is when Aaron Maloney takes over to tell us everything's fine with Chris Paul.
Well, I wish I could. I really wish I could, guys. So Chris Paul has entered the NBA's health and safety protocol and is out indefinitely, jeopardizing his availability for the Western Conference Finals. Here's Seth Greenberg this morning.
Yeah, it's devastating. It's Chris Paul, who makes all the right plays, who everyone turns to when the game is on the line. Chris Paul, who basically, you know, is the leader of this team every which way possible. Just not having him in practice, not having him in your facility, not having him around your team, a young team that looks for someone to basically give them direction besides Coach Williams. I mean, to me, it's huge.
Your reaction to the news.
Well, first of all, I'm just going to say it's not devastating until he actually misses game one. Then it will be devastating right there to me. I understand his point about him being around at practice, but the great thing about it is this team is tough. Collectively, they are tough. They have grown so much since the beginning of the year that I think a lot of the things that Chris Paul was espousing all season long, you know what? The Suns have absorbed that, and I think they'll be okay in practice and preparing and getting ready for game one. But if he misses game one, now to me, you're talking about devastating.
I don't think the Suns can win four of the next seven games without him. But I do believe they could handle a game one loss. I think this team is so much further along that if he misses game one and they lose and he comes back for game two, I still think the Suns can win a series down 1-0.
So how separated from the Suns will Chris Paul be? Here's ESPN's Malika Andrews.
At least physically, but for one thing we know for certain, right? It's a good thing we have cell phones. It's a good thing we have FaceTime. It's a good thing we're able to make phone calls and send texts, because you have to believe that that's someone, Chris Paul is someone who's going to be radioing in all of these different ways. But yes, in terms of the league's health and safety protocols, they have evolved, obviously, as the coronavirus has evolved in this country, the way we treat it, the way that vaccinations have impacted it. But physically, yes, there does need to be a separation still under the league's current health and safety protocol guidelines.
So he is in the health and safety protocols right now. What kind of impact do you think him just not even being present while they're prepping for the Western Conference Finals, what kind of impact do you think it'll have on the team?
I don't think it will have any impact on the team. And the reason being is because Chris Paul is going to be there. His head is going to be on a laptop. But he's going to be there.
He's going to be on like the Jumbotron
in
the practice court.
No, I'm serious, Mel. This is what I think. I mean, we've all grown accustomed to this now. Sitting in a meeting where somebody's present in the meeting via a laptop or some computer screen. I think that's going to be Chris Paul. Zooming it up with his teammates, basically. I think that's the way they're going to conduct these meetings. And I would be shocked if it were any other way.
Although I think Wolf's right, there's still always, to me, something you're going to be missing, because there's just things that come up when you're on the practice court and then a guy does something not quite the right way, or you do it partially right, but there's a better way, and there's nothing Chris Paul can do. You can't have Jay Gasper running around with a cart with Chris Paul's head on a computer, and he's running the plays with you. You know,
watch him do it.
Yeah,
Douglas.
No way.
Watch him do
it's
it.
It's just, it's not going to be the same. It hurts.
We're talking about practice, man,
and it's important.
Could you imagine if you were some dude and your job was literally to hold Chris Paul's head on the laptop so he could watch practice? Oh, that'd be awesome.
Someone tweeted and said, "Has anybody checked on the availability of Cliff Paul?"
Oh, mad.
Yeah. Uncle Cliff.
So if CP3 is unable to go, how does ESPN's Mark Spears think the Suns will play without him?
I mean, but this is a different level, you know? I mean, like, you're getting the Jazz or the Clippers next, and looks like Mike Conley's getting healthy. You just don't want to be on that level without him in any game.
do the Suns' title chances go down the drain if CP3 is unable to go?
Yes.
Or
if he's unable to play in the series, not game one, but if he's unable to play in the series, I would take Jazz and Clippers over the Suns.
Yes, of course. They go down. There's no doubt about that. They plummet. Next.
More breaking news in the NBA this morning. Kawhi Leonard is expected to miss the Clippers Game 5 tonight. And Sham Sharani is reporting that Kawhi suffered a right knee sprain and is out indefinitely. Are the Clippers done if Kawhi doesn't return?
No.
Oh, man.
But they're not going to win at all without him. But they're not done.
And that's hard right there, honestly. If they don't have Kawhi Leonard, I don't see a scenario they can beat the Jazz. I really don't. I think Kawhi Leonard is the difference in that series, along with Paul George. And if you take Kawhi out of there, I don't think they can beat the Jazz. That's just me.
The NCAA is investigating whether the Arizona State football program hosted high school prospects during the recent COVID-19 dead period and possibly other recruiting violations.
This is it's a really strange story to get your head around because it's a hard rule to break. If you're not allowed to bring people onto campus for an on-campus visit during the COVID-19 dead period. So there's really not a lot of middle ground here. You either broke the rules or you didn't. Now, here's the next thing that's a little strange about this. There's no idea what the actual punishment is. I mean, there's no precedent. When's the last time we had a pandemic with the NCAA recruiting violations? Right. So we have no idea what's about to happen. The one thing that's important to look at is Antonio Pierce is kind of the head coach in waiting for ASU, even though that's never been said. But he's also in charge of recruiting. So it's kind of hard to think this happened without his knowledge if it did happen. And if it did happen and then it happened with his knowledge, are you comfortable saying that's still going to be the next head coach?
Yeah, this is a huge oversight. And it would be a huge oversight by all parties involved. But it starts with somebody not understanding the rule about bringing these recruits onto campus in a dead period. And that falls on the shoulders of the recruiting coordinator.
I admit, I'm pretty good at NCAA rules, and I struggle with I don't know the COVID rules. Everything happened last year. It's like, wait, what are you allowed to do? What are you not allowed to do? That one seems like a hard one not to follow. Coming up next, Dave Burns, Phoenix resident, Suns fan on CP3. Is there a curse? It's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The home of the Suns run to the championship. 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station and the Arizona Sports app. Suns playoff coverage presented by Four Peaks Kilt Lifter. Doug and Wolf talk Suns in the Western Conference Finals now. You got me thinking that I'm wasting my time.
I'm glad that you're playing this to force Dave Burns into a positive mood, the co-host of Burns and Gambo, and our resident Suns fan, who from 2 to 6, he has to tell you what he thinks is going to happen, and he can be a fan, but there's a different role. But when you're just as a guest, you just get to be a fan and say whatever you want. So, Dave Burns, are the Suns cursed?
No, the Suns aren't. Well, maybe they are. I don't know.
Oh, no, Mercy. No.
There's no curse. There's no I mean, is bad luck a curse? I mean, is there a correlation between your luck level and being cursed or is there a distinction between, because they've had bad luck, mm-hmm. They've made some bad decisions, but are they cursed? I don't know. I let's put it this way.
Yeah.
Based off of what I've seen, and I'm not trying to be like pom-pom waving rah-rah kind of guy here. Based off of what I've read about the Kawhi situation and based off of what I've heard about the Chris Paul situation, if what Jalen Rose said this morning on ESPN is correct, I still think the Suns are sitting pretty. You know, I still think the Suns are in a position where Chris Paul, if he's been vaccinated, and this doesn't take very long, knock on wood, I mean, Kawhi Leonard might miss the rest of this series, potentially. Who knows what his health is going to be moving forward. We've all seen Donovan Mitchell kind of gimping around a little bit on that ankle for the last couple of games of the Western Conference series. If we're just talking about Chris Paul missing a game of the Western Conference Finals, I still think it ends up being a net positive for them. But I ask, am I wrong in thinking that? I mean, that's kind of the conclusion I've reached in the last hour, but I don't know if it's the right conclusion yet. What do you guys think?
David Charles, you know what? Honestly, right now, the disinformation and misinformation that is out there, or lack of information, I guess you could say as well, it just makes me very, very hesitant to say anything about it. Now, the Jalen Rose thing, there's no, that was the most encouraging thing I've heard. The fact that, you know, yeah, he said he was vaccinated.
Because they're off this week. He's already been vaccinated.
Now, that was a statement right there from Jalen Rose. You're not just going to go out there and break all sorts of HIPAA rules by saying he's vaccinated if he's not.
Look, I'll throw you another one, guys. I've got my tweet deck up in front of me. My co-host, John Gambadoro, tweeted 30 seconds ago, "My understanding is Chris Paul was vaccinated along with several other players back in February at the fairgrounds."
Well, there you
reading
go.
Reading right off of his Twitter account from us. So again, now, how does that correlate into time off? I don't know, because I'm going to sit here and not pretend like I'm totally, completely familiar with the latest update of vaccination rules and health and safety protocols and what it means and how long you're out. I don't know. That's one of the things that I was starting to work on this morning, and I'm sure you guys are trying to do a live radio show and work on that at the same time. It's hard information to get a firm answer on.
Brutal.
But if he's been vaccinated, I have to think that Jalen Rose and his "everything's all right, everything's going to be okay" kind of vibe that he was giving off this morning, for now, I'm going to tap into that vibe. I'm going to believe that vibe. And I'm going to think that that is the proper attitude to take about this news until I'm told otherwise, God only knows, 45 minutes from now when the story changes again. You know, I mean, who knows, right? So for now, let's just remain calm until we get a little more information in front of us.
I love it. Everybody remain calm.
Everybody. Nothing is, it's like Leslie Nielsen in The Naked Gun. Nothing to see here. Nothing to see here at all.
Did you panic, though, David Charles, when you heard that?
Oh.
Did you panic? I panicked a little bit when I first
I woke up this morning, and it was like 6:15. I had two alerts on, which is later than I normally sleep. I don't know why. I just felt like sleeping in. And I had two things on my phone when I pulled it off the charger. One was a breaking news alert from ESPN that Kawhi Leonard was probably going to miss Game 5 and could be out the rest of the series. And I thought, oh, wow, that's great. And then right below it was a text from Mitch who said, "Hey, we need a new look ahead. Chris Paul is in health and safety protocols." And I'm like, oh, for the love of God. I mean, it's just like I'm looking at my phone. I'm standing there in my underwear trying to, what is this? What am I looking
now,
at?
Now, did you David have Charles. To go there?
Stop.
Sorry. I know. Stop. I'm sorry. Sorry.
Oh, just, my goodness.
I'm painting the picture, guys.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Right.
I didn't want. Can we
don't need it painted.
Oh, man.
All right. Here we go.
I don't even know what to do now. Okay. I got that.
I'm sorry. Yeah, just hit the reset. Just everybody just flush it.
Let's just go ahead and say worst case scenario right here that somehow, some way, Chris Paul misses game one. How about that? Okay. Let's just start there.
Is that worst case scenario? Best case scenario?
Well, no. Best case scenario to me is he misses no time. This Clippers-Jazz series goes 7, and he absolutely is ready to go game one. Because of obviously, if you've been vaccinated, it expedites the process of you getting back out of the health and safety protocol, correct? That's my understanding.
We just don't know how much it accelerates it, right? I mean, we know it accelerates, but does it accelerate it to the point where missing no games is a possibility? I don't know if we know that for sure. I'd like to hope that, but I don't know if we know that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, David, we've been doing it for 2 hours now, broadcasting.
I'm sure.
Without a net.
And then in the middle of all of this, I'm assuming you guys saw the ASU story, right, from Doug Howler over at The Athletic. So now you got that to juggle today and this morning as it weighs on your emotions as a Valley sports fan. It's what a weird.
If that one, listen, day. If that one's true, and I only say if, not questioning anything. I don't know, but if that one's true, I can't imagine there's going to be an NCAA massive hammer like lack of institutional control. But it's just so strange to say you can't be any more clear. You can't have players in for a visit during this COVID-19 dead period. And there's no way around the fact that they're going to argue you were supposed to only play 6 games and you missed 3 of them in a row and your coach had it bad and different members of the staff had it bad and you're supposedly bringing in players. I don't know what happened. But I've been around the NCAA and people that have worked in it enough to know they won't like that very much. They'll want to drop a hammer if they can to make an example out of somebody. But again, I never even heard about this report. I admit I hadn't heard whispers about it, so I was kind of in the dark when it came out.
Yeah, and I didn't mean to change the subject or anything.
No, I'm good.
I wasn't trying to do that. I was just thinking of kind of all the craziness of this morning, but back to the Chris Paul thing. It requires
you're such a driver.
It requires.
He knew we had to get back.
I brutal. It is brutal. It requires a fundamental knowledge of two things that as of right now we do not have fundamental knowledge of. Number one, what exactly has Chris Paul has he tested positive? Did he come in exposure with somebody who tested positive? Is he symptomatic? Is he, you know, these, what is Chris Paul's actual status other than being in the health and safety protocol? We don't know. We know at this point we have every reason to believe he's been vaccinated based off of the multiple reports, but without knowing what exactly his condition is, it's hard to know how to apply that information to it. Number one, and then number two, we just don't know what the rules say in terms of how long he can or should be out. I wouldn't be surprised at all if by the time you guys are off and Bickley and Murata are on, this story has changed somewhat. And by the time we're on, the story will continue to change somewhat, because it's just going to be one of those extremely fluid stories over the course of the next hours and days, really.
Boy, the one thing, too, the NBA has a mess on their hands. If it's just a protocol violation, and that's it,
yeah,
and then they want him to miss game one,
yeah,
after LeBron was able to play game one.
Yeah, right? I mean, then you get into that whole double standard thing, and, well, wait, LeBron was, what was it, a tequila unveiling or something? And yet he was able to play in game one. Yeah, it's potentially sticky and duplicitous of the NBA if they're allow one thing and do another. So,
David Charles, what is it with Chris Paul in the postseason? is it, man?
I know, right? I mean, it's his, second only Western Conference Finals?
Yeah.
Only the second time he's ever been there. The last time he was in it, he has the hamstring injury. I mean, it's nothing.
Missed game six and seven of that series.
Yeah. It's the thin line between cursed and bad luck. You know, and I guess it just depends on what side of the line fall on.
It's just bad luck, David Charles.
There's a lot of bad luck in this town, man. Come on.
Yeah, it just depends on whether you want to take out an eraser and erase the line and say there is no line between being cursed and bad luck. It's all just the same thing. But I continue to believe there's a thin little fine line between the two, and I'm just hoping the Suns are on the side of bad luck and actually being cursed.
I can't believe this is happening today. So you've got this, you got Kawhi Leonard. I think you've already heard, Bernsey, that Stan Van Gundy got fired. And now Adrian Wojnarowski is reporting that Scott Brooks and the Wizards couldn't come to an agreement. So they've allowed his contract to expire. So we're midway through the playoffs. You've had a month to fire people, and we've got two more coaching vacancies. This is a crazy day today in the NBA.
It is a crazy day today. And normally, I mean, absent of the Chris Paul news, boy, today would have been such a great day. With the Kawhi Leonard news, I mean, that's the one guy, right? If you're looking big picture, maybe Kevin Durant.
Oh yeah, Kawhi and Durant
had last night.
Yeah,
but those are the two guys that you are your chief obstacles, I think, to remove if you're the Phoenix Suns, and the fact that you had one of them at least potentially removed for this series and maybe the rest of this mm-hmm. series, it was shaping up to be such a fine, fine day for the Phoenix Suns. And now it's okay, we have to refamiliarize ourselves with health and safety protocols and COVID testing and vaccinations. And man, it's like I'm having flashbacks to 2020 where it felt like this was all we talked about all year long.
Well, I don't know if this means I believe in curses, but maybe if the Clippers wouldn't have tanked to avoid the Lakers, Kawhi would be healthy. So there's that. Thank you, Burnsy. Good to talk to you.
Say hello to Chris, huh?
Will do, guys. Bye.
There's Burnsy joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group's Forge Line. If you are in the market for a Coulter Cadillac courtesy vehicle, the best place to go is CoulterCadillacTempe.com. Experience the difference. Coming up next, if there is no Kawhi, is there a chance the Suns are still the favorite without Chris Paul? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona's Forge Station.
The home of the Suns run to the championship. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station, and the Arizona Sports app. Suns playoff coverage presented by Four Peaks Kilt Lifter. Doug and Wolf talk Suns in the Western Conference Finals now.
Also going to be talking to the general manager of the Arizona Diamondbacks. And that's coming up in about 15 minutes. Mike Hazen will join us. Interested to hear from him on anything that's going on front office-wise and the leave of absence that it seems like he's taking, but it's just a physical leave of absence. He's still involved. Just to kind of get some of those things a little more clarified, that's coming up in about 15 minutes here on the Doug and Wolf Show. Good morning. We're live in the Auction Community Studios, and I think a lot of you have heard the news by now that CP3 is in the health and safety protocols. We don't know anything beyond that. We felt better when Jalen Rose said,
because they're off this week. He's already been vaccinated.
So he was the first one to say he's been vaccinated. That was such a strong phrase. It's hard to be wrong about that one.
Yes.
You had to say that because you knew it. And then John Gambadora, Burns and Gambo, tweeted out that it is his understanding that most of the team was vaccinated when at a different event at the Madhouse, I think it was, is what John said. So I need to go back and check that tweet. But he's highly confident, too. The reason why that matters is that changes what it takes for him to get back onto the court. It simplifies the process greatly. So, and I think maybe you don't know this about the vaccine, you can still get coronavirus even if you're vaccinated.
Yeah.
It's just like anything else that you can get, that what vaccines are supposed to be able to do is give you the antibodies to be able to fight it off once you get it, or dramatically minimize the consequences of getting it. So you hope that Chris Paul is going to be able to test negative with a 24-hour gap between tests at some point between now and Sunday, and possibly now and Tuesday, and be ready to go.
Yeah, I just, you know, once again, they're 90% effective to 95% effective, depending on the vaccine that you've received right now. And, you know, it's just a weird situation overall, because I do not know exactly what the protocols entail. I do not know if Chris Paul actually has COVID. I don't know what it is. We're still waiting on information. The news that he's been vaccinated, that's huge. I mean, that really is, because allegedly it expedites the process of getting back into the saddle. So hopefully he's not going to miss any time. And when I say any time, I'm talking about games. It will impact his ability to actually prepare and help his teammates prepare for game one of the Western Conference Finals, whenever that actually begins. How involved he's going to be, whether he's going to be at practices, I have no idea. Still so many questions that are up in the air right now about Chris Paul.
Luckily, the waiting period doesn't exist if you're vaccinated. So it's just, boom, get your two negative tests and you're back. Mark Spears of The Athletic joined us, of The Undefeated, joined us at 6:30 this morning as he got ready to get on a plane, so you'd be able to hear the airport behind him a little bit. And you asked him, how does he think the Suns will do if there is no CP3?
I mean, but this is a different level. You know, I mean, like, you're getting the Jazz or the Clippers next, and, Looks like Mike Conley's getting healthy. You just don't want to be on that level without him in any game. So, hey, you could get by in the regular season, but in the postseason, man, you need everybody available. And he is he was an All-NBA player for a reason, man. He's the rudder of the ship. He's the captain. He's the biggest brains on the court.
You know, it's such a simple question to ask. It's a dumb question to ask because I think we all understand the answer, yet it's a question you've got to ask. And right now, this morning, ask yourself this. You have to. When you hear the news about Chris Paul and the fact that Chris Paul has entered the NBA's COVID-19 health and safety protocols, the first thing you think of is, okay, how are the Suns going to play without Chris Paul if that happens? There's the question. It's the question that needs to be satisfied. What are your expectations for this team if Chris Paul can't play in game one?
I'm assuming Monty knows a lot. And the reason why I would say that is you've got to make the decision already. Am I preparing for game one with or without Chris Paul?
Yes.
Am I looking at what's going to work against the Jazz without him, what's going to work against the Clippers without him, and things like that? Or are they confident? Listen. They could have this feeling.
Because they're off this week. He's already been vaccinated.
I mean, they might feel like, listen, we're going to be fine. Because if he tests positive and he's asymptomatic, it's just, boom, have two negative tests, you're back, everybody's good. Even if he has some symptoms, if his body's able to fight it off today, tomorrow, Friday, Saturday, hopefully there's a game 7 on Sunday, he still can test negative within 24 hours and he's fine. And none of this matters. They're going to know. The problem is they're not going to tell us. And that's what I would really like to know. Coming up next, the general manager of the Arizona Diamondbacks will join us, Mike Hazen. He recently took a physical leave of absence. What does that mean? And why does it feel like there's a massive leave of absence from winning with this franchise right now? What can we do to be able to get this team back on track? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Doug and Wolf Mornings on the home of Arizona Diamondbacks baseball. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Diamondbacks front office focus.
We do it every Wednesday at 8:45. Today, Mike Hazen, Arizona Diamondbacks general manager, joins us on the Coulter Automotive Group sports line. And Mike, first of all, thoughts and prayers from everybody here at Arizona Sports. Our best. I got to ask, is this something that you kind of anticipated? I was in shock when I saw a physical leave of absence, and quite frankly, I don't even know what that means. But is this something you kind of anticipated when you opened up to us about your wife Nicole's condition and spring training?
Yeah, I think so. Good morning, guys. Good to talk to you guys. Yeah, we've been on this sort of run for about a year now. So, you know, this is something we've been dealing with, and you know, it's complex in a lot of ways for those that, you know, I'm sure people have read about it. It's sort of a challenging situation. But it is what it is. And we're grinding through this a little bit. I think, you know, at some point, I'm glad you're confused a little bit by the physical leave of absence. I'm confused a little bit myself, except I think I can explain it in that, you know, I think the life of us in the front office, coaches, all these other things, it's an endless nonstop, you know, physically away from your family during the season. And that means, you know, I don't know, 8 to 10 to 12 hours a day, especially long homestands. You know, you're at the park at 10 AM, you're leaving at 11 o'clock at night. Those things were becoming challenges. And I found myself, during the last homestand sort of having to sort of sneak out a little bit, you know, in the second, third innings, pick up the game. And obviously remotely, we can do all our work the way we need to. I found myself doing that. And you know what? Quite frankly, if you're 20 games up in the standings, nobody cares where I am, right? I could be off scouting in the DR somewhere, and nobody even really cares where I am. When you're 20-plus games under, and rightfully so, people want to know where you are, what you're doing, and what you're doing to fix what's going on right now. And as such, you know, I just felt like it doesn't have the same dynamic to it. Kind of had to come clean with what I was capable of doing, being with the club physically and not, including the players. You know, where is Mike? What's going on? and I have to answer to all those things. And so felt like this was the best step. And in plenty capable hands, and we're still working towards rectifying, I know, what has been a very disappointing season to date, you know, night after night.
So, Mike, would it be accurate to say that it really isn't going to change your responsibilities with the Diamondbacks in any way, shape, or form?
There'll be some changes. Amiel's taking a much bigger role. We're going to bring on, hopefully in the next couple of days, Allard Baird to help. He has a wealth of experience, a former GM, somebody to handle, you know, especially as we move into draft and deadline time. You know, his counsel, his evaluations, his ability to kind of – his perspective, his ability to help, you know, dealing with other front offices as we go through. We're probably going to have a volume. The phone has been ringing off the hook, as you can imagine, inbound right now, just given where we're standing and given where other teams are at. And so there's a volume there that has to get dealt with. So, you know, I'm around to be involved in a lot of discussions at various times. I think the things that I'm not going to be as much a part of are the physical things that happen on a day-to-day basis. And, you know, but I'll still be in contact with those guys, definitely.
For those of you that might not be familiar, if you're an insider in baseball, I kind of take that as breaking news. I was in Kansas City at the same time Allard Baird was the general manager there, and I was amazed at how many bullets that man took for an ownership group that at the time was just not that great. And he took so many bullets when it wasn't his fault at all. An unbelievably stand-up guy and a really good baseball man. So this is big news for the Diamondbacks. So congratulations on that hire. As I've always told you, you should never care what a talk show host thinks, but that's a great hire. Let me follow up on something you just said. There are some physical things day to day that I won't be a part of, if you don't mind, such as, what does that mean?
Again, like I talk about being there for 10 to 12 hours a day, especially when the team's at home, you know, we're spending a lot of time breaking down what's going on with the club, good and bad, with the coaches, with the front office, with dealing with the draft. You know, you're just not going to be involved in every one of those conversations that are taking place, conversations with players, with et cetera. So, you know, a lot of that stuff can be done, not a lot, I mean, the conversations can't, but other work can be done remotely. You know, I've said this before, a lot of the draft stuff we're doing this year as a result of the pandemic has actually been done remotely. We will get live and in person much, much closer to the draft than we have. But we're going to do all our pre-work remotely where we would have done that in person. So we can still be involved in a lot of those things. You're just getting the summaries in a lot of cases of some of these conversations. And as a in the past of being more intimately involved in them all the time, because people can't just pick up the phone and talk to you all day. They have work to do. So you're sort of picking up the pieces after the fact and offering more advice in some ways. That's more of what we're talking about right now. And then, again, not physically being there at games, especially when the team's at home. And then the travel part of it. You know, I felt this way when we were in Oakland. In the past, I probably would have been in Oakland. I probably would have been in San Francisco right now. Those are just becoming a little bit more challenging for me to do that type of stuff. And so I think those are the biggest things at this moment in time.
Mike, your thoughts on the firing of hitting coaches Darnell Coles and Eric Hinsky?
Yeah, disappointing. I never want to get to a place like that. Those are two very, very good baseball guys that have been in the game forever that are good coaches. And they work their butts off. And I know that sort of flies in the face of like, okay, you know, we're trying to thread this needle here of we understand the season is not going the way we intended it to go. We just felt like there was a different voice that was needed on that side of the baseball. And that's not a point that you want to get to, but it's a point that we sort of got to. And it's unfortunate because of what these guys have done in the game. And you know, they're going to get – plenty more opportunities, obviously, because they're so good and they're great human beings. We just felt like we had to make that decision right now. The fact is we are playing very poorly, as we can tell, night after night. And these things need to turn around. We did not intend – this was not a situation where we walked into the season, you know, where we were talking in February about rebuilding. That was not the case here. I've said this before, the penalty for trying to compete you know, I don't know what that is. I would much prefer giving us a shot to go compete rather than just tearing down. But, you know, we are where we are standing right now, and the wins and losses still matter to us every single night. And we need to find a way to turn this around.
Talking to Mike Hayes and general manager, Arizona Diamondbacks, when I say worst team in Major League Baseball and potentially the worst road team since the 63 Mets, is there an extra special burn there? Is there anything you could do? I mean, what has happened?
The burn is you feel sick to your stomach. What has happened? We haven't played good baseball. And look, I know people, you know, this lays on me in terms of the team that I put together. In some way, this lays on the manager in terms of his job of getting the team to play in a certain way. We're not shying away from that responsibility, but it also lays on the players. I don't think we don't have a talented team. I think at some point we need to play better baseball, and that's in all phases of the game. I think you've watched our games. We've had our handful, and I think it's a small handful of duds that most teams have. You know, you have your dud games and it doesn't go well. And that was probably Sunday for us this week. I'm not sure that you can put majority of those other games in that bucket. And I think it's on all three phases. You know, I think the offense has been better lately in the consistency of what we've shown. Our pitching has, you know, the days we're scoring 8, we're giving up 9. The days we're scoring 3, we're giving up 4 or 5. It is, and a lot of that also is centering around our ability on defense. You know, we have to play cleaner games start to finish. And I think that's and I understand the mental burden of trying to break streaks and being on these runs where it looks like everything is working against you. Not everything is working against us. Mm. We need to take hold and make things work against the other team. And, you know, look, I've said this before. I know the level of effort that is being put in. This isn't an effort league. This is a results league. And we are ultimately, Torrey and myself specifically, are going to be evaluated on wins and losses. So I appreciate the level of accountability that people have towards the performance. But at some point, that's not good enough. We need to win more baseball games.
You have probably one of the most difficult decisions a general manager has to make. You just said earlier you think you had to move on from the hitting coaches because you need to see if a new voice is there. What might make a difference? Well, you just said, you know, how you and Torrey are going to be evaluated. I get the feeling that you think Torrey is part of the problem equally to everybody else, but not the problem yet. At what point do the losses mount up and the manager needs to have a different voice?
It's a great question and very well deserved for the both of us. I think that I try to break it down into other ways. I think it's the simple reaction is to talk about a different voice. And I ask myself like what that different voice would be doing for our team right now. And I'm scratching my head because I don't really see it. And I think I see the level of accountability he takes. I know what clubhouse is. I've been on teams, been a part of teams that haven't not finished in first place, have finished in last place, and what can happen inside those walls that are not happening inside these walls. And he deserves credit for that. I also have to take my own accountability for you know, some of the options. Some of that has to do with some other factors in terms of injuries and things like that. But some of the options that he's running out there that make it look more like, you know, it puts more of a pressure on him to sort of create things that may be in a better spot if I had done a better job. And then I ask myself, you know, at some point, you know, what managers don't go locker to locker in baseball, right? Before every game, not a manager in history to rally the troops and get these guys. We need to play. The players need to come together and we need to play better baseball. I struggle to see where, you know, his imprint on this outside of he and I are responsible for this team ultimately is where we're standing today. But at some point we're going to have to all ask ourselves those questions because finishing in last place, finishing historically in last place, which we won't, but we're on a pace to right now. I get it. We're going to play better baseball. But we need to start playing better baseball. And I'm tired of talking about playing better baseball. We need to go out there and do it for 9 innings. First night, one night, and then go do it the next night too. And that's what we need to have to start happening.
As you know, Mike, I've got a PhD in losing. I've lost my entire pro career for the most part here, and I've seen a lot of coaches actually get fired in mid-season, and many times it was because he had ultimately lost the locker room. It doesn't sound like that's the case. That's what you're telling us right now, that Torrey Lovello has lost the clubhouse.
That's accurate. I do not believe that's the case. And
that's important, you know, isn't it, Mike?
That's a thing. Yes, you've been around it a long time. And you want, as hard as it probably is for you to articulate what that really means,
yes.
I get it. It can be tricky to articulate that sometimes. That's not a situation that we find ourselves in right now. Our execution has been poor, though. And at some point, ultimately, even though we're not out there, including me, are not out there swinging the bats and throwing pitches, we are responsible for the execution of our team. And the players are ultimately responsible for the execution of the team, but so are the coaches and so is the front office. And we need to continue to find ways to go out there night after night and play a brand of baseball that we feel like we're capable of doing.
Are Marte and Carson Kelly untouchable, or is it open season as we approach the trade deadline?
I don't think open season is something that we really are looking at. I look at this team again. I know this is somewhat of a confusing statement, and maybe my evaluation is you might say that I'm off my rocker. I think that I look at this young group of players and I think they're extremely talented, and I think that, you know, again, I understand from a pitching standpoint, it looks different than it did on opening day. We have to take into account that in this game, starting pitching, especially the team we're facing right now, is a great example of that, dictates the pace of Major League Baseball and games throughout the course of 162 games. So we have to take that somewhat into account. That group of young position players that we have, we still very much believe in. I don't believe there's going to be open season. I don't think going into a trading deadline, that is really such a thing. The complicated part of making trades at the deadline are that you limit your access to the players that you have available in any type of trade. I think in order for us to, meaning if you're a contending team and we ask for a player off your 26-man roster that we really like, most contending teams will tell you, well, yeah, I suppose that's fair, but why would we trade you X only to have to replace him with Y and then have to go back out into the market and replace that guy? And so it just complicates trades at the deadline when you're talking about things, especially of a bigger nature. I don't know that we're ever in a position to say never to anything, given the position that we are in. I think in baseball specifically with 26 man, you're not one player away. We're clearly not one player away. But having said that, we do need to anchor around what we're building. And I think that's an important concept too. And identifying those guys that are going to be here. I don't want to keep trading our best players out of here. I want to start. We've talked about this in the past when we've traded, you know, Greinke and Goldie and those guys. And as painful as those are, we want to start anchoring ourselves around guys. So that's a long-winded way of it's a complicated answer to that question. I don't think in any deadline you're looking at a massive trades. I think there'll probably be some trades.
Mike, thinking a lot about you lately, buddy, and we both are, and we appreciate your time this morning, man. God bless you.
All right, guys.
Thank you, Mike. There's Mike Hazen, general manager of the Arizona Diamondbacks, joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. If you're in the market for a newer pre-owned Cadillac, you want a Coulter Cadillac courtesy vehicle from CoulterCadillacTempe.com. Experience the difference. Coming up next, the latest on Chris Paul on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
You've been listening to D-backs Front Office Focus.